Reading from Surrender Unto Me, An Overview of the Bhagavad Gita. This is Chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge. Continuing Krishna's words in text 35. Krishna's explained, to gain the truth, that one must approach a spiritual master. And now he explains the result of that, getting knowledge from a spiritual master. 35. Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but part of me, or part of the Supreme, or in other words, they are mine. Comment. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhusan comments that one result of knowledge is that we no longer fall into illusion. Arjuna should not think that his relatives will die. You should understand that all living entities, whether animals or demigods or humans, are different from their bodies. In addition, you should understand that all living entities are none different from Krishna and situated within him. Srila Prabhupada writes, the result of receiving knowledge from a self-realized soul, or one who knows things as they are, is learning that all living beings are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. The sense of an existence separate from Krishna is called Maya. Comment continues. Maya turns us away from Krishna, and then we consider ourselves independent of him. We are, however, eternally Krishna's parts and parcels. We come from Krishna, part, yet we are eternally individual units, parcels. We need his shelter and his service. Thus, an elevated soul thinks, quote, I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. The next verse describes another fruit of transcendental knowledge, going beyond sin, text 36. Even if you are considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you'll be able to cross over the ocean of miseries. Comment. In chapter 1, Arjuna feared sin and its resultant suffering. Krishna herein tells Arjuna that the cure is transcendental knowledge, not fleeing the battlefield. The word apichet, even if, the words apichet, even if, are used. The words apichet, which means even if, are used when one accepts the occurrence of an unlikely or apparently self-contradictory event. Three questions could be asked as posed by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. One, if someone is acting so sinfully, how can his heart become purified? And without such purification, how can he develop knowledge? And third, and if he has developed knowledge, how can he act with such impropriety? Krishna is thus describing this apichet situation to glorify the purifying effects of transcendental knowledge. 37. As a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions to material activities. Comment. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Krishna says, for one whose heart has become purified, I completely destroy whatever karma has already been generated with the exception of his parabdha karma. Comment continues. Transcendental knowledge thus destroys all reactions, both sinful and pious, all that is except parabdha karma or matured reactions, such as one's present material body. Krishna now further glorifies transcendental knowledge. 38. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. One who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. Comment. The word kalena means in course of time. Krishna uses the word kalena to warn against premature renunciation, simply adopting the outer garb of a sannyasi, as it is sometimes done by Mayavadis, as if that will automatically fix us in knowledge and free us of sin. Krishna also uses the term kalena to encourage detached work, which truly bestows transcendental knowledge. Quote, in course of time, kalena indicates that transcendental knowledge is gradually revealed in the heart of one practicing Nishkam Karma Yoga. By work, not by renouncing work, it manifests. Krishna next explains the role of faith in acquiring knowledge. 39. A faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses, he is eligible to attain such, to achieve such knowledge. And having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. Comment. Here, Krishna explains the qualifications a man needs to obtain transcendental knowledge. He must be faithful, dedicated, and sense-controlled. He works faithfully, and he knows his detached work will bring transcendental knowledge and, quote, the supreme spiritual peace, liberation. Without faith, as Krishna explains below, peace is unobtainable. 40. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. Comment. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur differentiates between the faithless and the doubtful. He explains that Krishna has mentioned three classes of people who fail: the ignorant, agya, the faithless, ashradadhana, and the doubtful, samsayatma. The agya, this is quoting Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the agya are foolish like animals. The ashradadhana have knowledge of Shastra, but having seen the mutual disagreements of proponents of various theories, they have no trust in any of them. Although the samsayatmas have faith, they are swayed by the doubt. I don't know whether this process will be effective in my case. End quote. The doubtful, comment continues, the doubtful have some faith, but they nevertheless doubt that following Shastra will truly award results. Thus, they follow, but without full faith, hope, and optimism. Such doubters achieve happiness neither in this world nor in the next. Even fools attain some material happiness. The doubtful attain none. Krishna next reveals how to destroy doubts. And we shall end here with everyone very eager to find out how to destroy doubts. And we shall read that very soon, Krishna willing. Hare Krishna.